Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A bump in the night. Heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, January 9th, 2026, our first Freaky Friday of 2026, and the horrors persist, and so do we. Hello.
Man, it's always weird when to record, because then you're like, I don't know what shit show happens tomorrow when this comes out, and we might look crazy because we didn't mention it, but just know that might not have happened.
We're always like, it's 4 o'clock on Thursday, January 8th. So is we're trying to get you the most breaking Freaky Friday as we can. And what a time. Shout out to, I don't say shout out, but thoughts, prayers, love, hugs to all of our friends and family in Minneapolis and Minnesota as a whole, in the whole country, in the world. Big hug to everyone. But I have friends in Minnesota who are in Minneapolis who are like, school is canceled now. Like, we don't, you know, we're afraid to be in our streets because, in case you are not from the U.S. or haven't seen the news, a officer from the ICE Customs Enforcement from the Department of Homeland Security extrajudiciously killed a woman in her vehicle in Minneapolis, Minnesota just this week. And to see the footage of it from multiple angles, as an attorney, to analyze the DOJ policy, the supremacy clause, you know, immunity, and then to see our elected officials just lie, it's crazy.
Oh, dude. I have no words. The first way I saw this was on TikTok. And a pedestrian filming the entire thing, which, good for them, because the media is lying. Obviously, we can't trust anything ICE or the administration says about shit, because I've also watched it from multiple angles. At not one point was that, I don't even want to call them officers, that ICE agent in danger of getting run over by her car. Not at one fucking point. What, I mean, she would have had to have turned her car a sharp left to hit any of them. And clearly she was just trying to leave a scene that was chaotic. She was being screamed at, different, stay in the car, get out, by two different officers. Okay, which one do you listen to? Either way, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Her 6-year-old son was at school when that happened.
Yeah.
And her wife sat in the snow with their dog next to where her wife had just been executed and told a passerby, our son is at school. We were about to go pick him up.
She said, they killed my wife. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. We're new here. And then you now, in 5 minutes, your entire life has been changed. You've lost the person you love. Your kids have lost one of their mothers. And the administration says it's a miracle that officer was alive. That woman was violent, out of control.
I wasn't sure if everybody knew, but much like there's the Chewbacca defense, this is what I'm calling the Uncle Jimbo defense, which if you have not watched the Scuzzlebutt episode of South Park, it's where Uncle Jimbo and Ned don't have hunting licenses. And they said, we're not allowed to shoot the animals unless the animals are coming at us. Yeah. So then they would just scream, they're coming right for us.
Yes, and I remember that.
It has become, I want you all to tell your friends and family every time you hear Christy Noem say he was so in danger. He was not, by the way. The video very clearly shows it's not a high rate of speed. It's very hard to justify that without imminent danger that it is a justifiable killing.
Three shots, by the way.
Including under the Department of Justice's own policy, which says placing oneself in the path of a moving vehicle constitutes an officer-created jeopardy that undermines any claim that deadly force was necessary. So to hear our Vice President J.D. Vance lie on the podium and say he has 100% immunity. What are you talking about, brother? No, what you're talking about is supremacy clause immunity. That's not absolute immunity. That is a judicially created immunity. That is, if an officer is acting in their lawful authority and the force is reasonable or necessary, and it just wasn't. I mean, the car's going not even 5 miles an hour. It's barely moving. A vehicle is a deadly weapon if it is moving quickly. It could not have moved fast. And the guy's got his phone in his hand the whole time.
Yeah, no.
The shooter.
She couldn't have been moving fast. No. The car was at a complete stop. She started to drive away when he fires in, I won't even say the front of the windshield because that implies he was standing in front of her. It's like to the side. So, because he was to the side. He was in no danger of being hit. She was also trying to avoid the fucking car doors that were open on all these ICE vans.
Yeah.
Because they just show up. And what were they even doing there? I think some sort of a roundup. And she and her wife stopped to film it.
And I think
because
also,
someone else was in danger.
Well, and people, I think the ICE agents later said, oh, our vehicle was stuck and we were all, and people got confused. It doesn't matter why anyone was there. It's her right to have egress on the street. And blocking an investigation is not an executable offense. I don't want it to be, and it just isn't legally. And so to hear J.D. Vance lie on the podium and say, he has absolute immunity. No, he doesn't. You're a lawyer. Shut up. You know you're lying. That's the really offensive part, is they think you're stupid. Christy Noem, in her big giant Yosemite Sam hat, thinks that you're an idiot.
Yeah.
They think you can't see. I mean, it's, what do they say in 1984? The party told you to reject all evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final and most essential command. We are at that point. And I just won't, no. I can see. I've got eyes. I can see. But I've been disturbed to see a lot of people that just have their mouths open. It's not even licking the boots. They're trying to swallow them whole. It's crazy to see.
I spent 45 minutes talking to my psychiatrist about this today and just how I feel like, we all feel like we're just drinking from a water hose. She was like, so how's your mental health been? I was like, well...
Great question.
And then I laugh for 45 minutes. And you're like, did you call us?
Do you mean like normally or like now?
That's what I was like. I said, well, it's hard to say because like my new normal, like so many, is a perpetual state of fight or flight.
Yeah, I mean, truly.
So my mental health sucks because I'm constantly worried about something happening to my kids or somebody I love or my family. And we have now seen with all of our own eyes yesterday that a white woman who was just in her car got shot in the head 3 fucking times. Okay. So it's not like, well, I'm not Mexican. I don't have to worry about ICE. Well, I'm not XYZ. First of all, that's racist and stupid, and you shouldn't think that way. We should all be looking out for our fellow human. also, you're just wrong now. Yeah. Like, literally anybody is a target, a victim, a potential victim. No one is really safe unless you're a billionaire in Trump's world, and that's the only people they care about protecting. And J.D. Vance is, he knows he's lying, but under this administration, I do think that that ICE agent will have 100% immunity because the rule book has been thrown out and Trump just does whatever the fuck he wants and everyone says, okay, so we don't even have like a playbook right now. Everybody's just flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah, I'm happy to see congressional members trying their best. Ayanna Pressley tried to motion for a subpoena that was voted down by her Republican colleagues to subpoena the videos, the information involved in it. The FBI has taken over. It gives me zero comfort. But just because the FBI has taken over does not mean that the state cannot continue to investigate this on their own. And it seems as if Tim Walz, it seems like Mayor Frey, I'm not sure how to say his name. He's a badass, though. I like that guy. That they are still looking for ways that they can protect their citizens.
Yeah.
And it perhaps will cause a constitutional issue in court and it's going to take a long time or whatever. But I refuse to say nothing will happen to them because we can't let that happen.
No.
We have got to push and push and push because what happened with the Gestapo is that they sort of started as kind of like a police force doing things and they were kind of following rules and then they became untouchable. And so what we need to make very clear is that these men are not untouchable. We will unmask them. We will prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. Kristi Noem must be impeached. Donald Trump must be impeached. You must be calling your representatives and you're like, I turned on a podcast today. Great. You turn on a podcast in one of the, I would say, flashpoints of our century. You know what I mean? Sorry, it's happening right now. None of us want it to happen right now. We'd all like to be talking about something else. I love to make dick and fart jokes. It's my favorite thing to do, but we really can't do that right now because I've got kids that look up to me and people that respect me and I've got to say something about this. So it means something to the two of us to say that this is not normal, that an award-winning poet, Renee Nicole Good, has been killed and taken from this world far too soon. And people are posting gross memes about it. So if you're all pissed off and butthurt about Charlie Kirk, it's time to say something now too.
Right. No, for sure. It's, and that's was kind of the takeaway with my psychiatrist is she's like, she was saying, you know, it's hard because I was explaining it's hard to tell what's anxiety and what is just me being pragmatic.
Normal.
Because we are at a point, in my opinion, where we really do have to ask the questions like, am I safe living in this state? Am I safe living in this country? Like, what do I want the next 5 years to look like? Stuff that I didn't really think about, you know, several years ago, pretty much since COVID. But like now it's becoming like literally every day. It's like, did something else just beyond happen today that we can't stick our heads in the sand about because that's what they want you to do. They want you to be uninformed, misinformed, be so overwhelmed that you just shut down and can't take any more information in. So my shrink was like, it's what you do with that anxiety. Like, don't just have the anxiety brewing inside of you and, you know, feel like you're going to explode. Go out and do something that makes you feel like you're making a difference and helping. And then she also gave me this quote, which somebody had given her. And she's like, sometimes I really get it and other times I have to really think about it, which I agree with. Anxiety is the creative imperative to be oneself in truth relentlessly. Damn. So we can all chew on that. And she was talking about like optimal stress, like in athletes, like where you want to be stressed enough to perform your best, but not so stressed that your body shuts down, and that's how our brains are functioning right now too.
That's a really good way to put it. I didn't think about that with like an athlete, that we can do too much physically with our body. And I think we often forget that our brains and minds are part of that same body. Mm-hmm. And your mind-body connection is vital. Sometimes I'll let my brain totally take over and I realize my whole body's like,
yeah,
like tensed up, tightened up. So I love that quotation, and I will definitely have to let that one sink in on me for a while.
I had to write it down. I was like, I'm going to have to read this and reread it and reread it. But basically, when something challenges who you really believe that you are inside or what you want to be doing, then it causes anxiety. And like, mm-hmm. it can often send a message. So, you know, she was like, anxiety isn't always a bad thing. It can be communicating something to you mm-hmm. that you need to listen and really like listen internally and be like, what is this really trying to tell me right now? And I get it. It's easy to shut off and be like, I can't. And sometimes you have to, because we still have to be partners, parents, workers, whatever. However, we can't be any of those things if, you know, our fellow humans are getting shot in the street for standing up for people. So everybody take care of yourselves mentally and physically. And I will continue saying, because this is one way I feel like I can get my feelings out is through this podcast. And I know not everyone agrees with this and I don't fucking care, but like, fuck this administration. Everybody that is in charge right now sucks shit. Mm-hmm. You should all be so ashamed of yourselves. And death waits for no one, my friends. Yeah. So what is it all for? You want all this fucking power and money to what? Eventually die and leave it to your shitty family that they're also like, no, wants power and money?
I'll live forever on Mars. It's like, God, what are you like? For what? For what? Just stop and enjoy your life. None of them
you
seem
happy.
You can't
even enjoy everything you have. No. Like, you couldn't spend all of the money you have in 1,000 lifetimes. It's just power hoarding and money hoarding and
selfish.
Yes, and it all is traced back to like what these people want our country to look like, which is white, hetero Christians.
Rich. Yeah.
Rich, white, hetero Christians. And all you other white, hetero Christians that aren't rich.
Sorry, they don't care about you. They'll
let
you
die. They don't give a fuck about you, but they sure want your vote and you're giving it to them. And you shouldn't, because they do not care about you. They laugh at you mm-hmm. behind closed doors. Even sometimes in front of people.
I mean, they say it out loud. I love the
uneducated. Yes, all the time. There's so many sound bites of Trump over decades saying, if you want to fool anybody, just run for the Republican Party. Or, you know, I just flip to whatever one is doing well at the time. J.D. Vance was a never Trump guy. Now he's the fucking vice president to him. You can't trust anything these clowns have to say.
Mm-hmm. And I think that extends to a lot of Democratic lawmakers as well. A lot of cases, they are doing stuff and trying stuff. Thank God I live under one that's awesome. Julie Johnson, she really, I feel like, says what she does and does what she says. But if you've got one that doesn't, run against them, primary them. I don't, you know what I mean?
Spencer Pratt. Running in LA.
No, is he really?
Yeah, I think
go,
so.
Spencer, go. Well,
I mean, I saw him at a podium with his phone reading the thing he'd written, which was pretty well written, actually.
No, well, good for him. So, he's probably seen.
He's saying, like, we're going to shine a light on all of the dark parts of Los Angeles that allowed these fires to destroy our homes. He lost his home, mm-hmm. his parents, you know, their whole family. That's and he's right. like, fuck it. And sometimes it takes like a huge thing happening like that to you for you to be like, well, I'll just run and do something myself. And people might think he's a joke. I say, let somebody with new eyes take a look at all this shit that like has been impacted directly by something, that knows what that mm-hmm. feels like mm-hmm. and can then relate empathetically and have an understanding of like what this country needs, not just people that only protect and care about themselves.
Spencer Pratt also, I would wager a guess, was born like after the invention of the television, which is a huge yes. jump for a lot of our elected representatives being
oh my God, yeah. years old, so I mean, I don't know if all of them had phones.
No, they okay. Or they electricity. Were like, when I took the wagon to school, I mean, truly, and I respect my elders, but like at some point, you got to let somebody else get in there. Come
Dude,
on now. Come on now.
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, don't feel hopeless. There's something you can do. There's probably a demonstration you could go to. There's somebody you could talk to, a you know, volunteer somewhere. That often helps people feel
for
less
real,
like
yeah,
their life
sure.
is out of control, and visit with people. Go to an older old folks home is what I would normally call them, but a facility for older adults, you know, visit folks.
Yeah.
Help out at a school. I don't know, mentor kids, something like that. It definitely helps you realize you have a little bit more agency than it feels like in an otherwise spinning world. But we hope yeah. this is a fun pep talk for everyone. But truly, I mean, it's just can't go, shit like that can't go uncorrected for him to be like, he's got immunity. You're allowed, they're allowed to hunt you all like animals in the streets. Why is everyone yelling at me? And I'm like, because they can't and we won't let them. So,
yeah. And I made a post yesterday that was like, if you're reading this, you could be the next Renee Nicole Good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, anybody could. And that's not fear-mongering. It's not hyperbole. It's fact. We watched an ICE agent shoot an innocent woman in the head 3 times behind the wheel of her car.
Mm-hmm. In broad daylight with a lot of witnesses.
In broad daylight while dozens of people were around filming.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at right now. So just really let that sink in. I think it's easy for us to see something on our feed and scroll past it, and then we're on to the next thing. Her family sure can't scroll past this. The people that saw that can't scroll past it. You know, I mean, the people that live there now are afraid to go to work, leave their houses. And that city is just one of, you know, millions that it could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's like they understand that it's right now it's the Somali community in Minneapolis, and tomorrow it could be whomever in your backyard as well. And that's mm-hmm. why we say, no, we can't have this, and we won't stand for it. Hopefully it's a flashpoint in a positive way. And it is time to impeach Kristi Noem and impeach Donald Trump. I mean, yeah. I think you've already seen he doesn't give a fuck about the separation of power. So. You know,
no, yeah. no. And Greenland, Denmark, I stand with y'all. Denmark was like, guess what? We shoot first and ask questions later. And I was like, fair. As an American, if we land in your fucking country and try to take things over, we have no fucking right to do that. No. Who said that we have any business being in Venezuela and can tell them how much to sell their oil for?
It's something called the Monroe Doctrine. It's from like a long time ago. And Stephen Miller was like, if it's on our side of the globe, it's ours. And I was like, I think that's called dibs. Like, I don't think that's a doctrine. I think that's a thing that kids say, and it's called dibs.
Yeah. That's like when you're playing Risk and you're trying to gaslight everybody into thinking that, no, this is a good move. Or Settlers of Catan. You're like, trade me all of your ore. I promise it'll go great.
And I was like, this is people's lives. You killed a grandma. You blew up. They go, no one died. 80 people died when they bombed Venezuela, by the way, and stole the president. So it's not nobody. It's 80 people, including yeah. an 80-year-old grandmother. So it's just stuff like that where it feels crazy that you just have to go, anyway, our first story today.
Yeah, no. And it feels crazy that, like, not everyone's talking about it. But at the same time, I understand that it's not healthy for us to always be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really difficult time and a hard line to walk right now. And all I can say is y'all aren't alone.
Yeah.
Because I feel the exact same way.
We bear witness to your suffering, and we've named it today. And hopefully the rest of this episode can serve as a little bit of an escape. That's a little bit of entertainment. But I think addressing stuff like this in real time is timely, because what about in 6 months when they go, none of that never happened? Mm-hmm. Renee Good was actually a crisis actor, and that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. And it never happened. You know, you have this, it's a diary. A piece of art is of the time it's in. And that's what this is. It's of the time. So if you're listening January 2026, I'm sorry. I hope you listen in January 2028 and you write me an email about how much better it all is.
Oh, man. Same. I do too. I do too. The last thing I said to my psychiatrist was, people in World War II were already in the middle of that war. Like, once they realized what was going, you know, there's not like, there's not an announcement.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If everyone's waiting for an announcement, like, all right, everybody, the shit has officially hit the fan. We should all be, you know, really concerned. We're already there and we have been. So the history books are going to recount this time that we're in as we were already in the middle of shit. And there are still people today that are like, what? Everything's fine. Nothing. No. And if you
hands covered with brown going, has the shit hit the fan?
Yeah. And if you think that that's the case, you're not paying attention enough.
Yeah. Truly, though. Truly.
Well, or you're allowing your privilege to blind you. And
that
is also just as heinous.
Mm-hmm. And it will blind you, but it won't protect you.
No. It sure won't. Be on the right side of history. And right. The present. Don't. Just
fucking everybody fucking be cool. I told you, just my new political party.
For one fucking just day.
Fucking chill. That's my political party. Everybody's welcome to join. As long as you're fucking cool, man. Just you be chill fucking out. Cool. Be cool with everybody. Respect everybody. Everybody just treat each other like you want to be treated. That's my party, right? No one's doing that right now. No party's doing that right now. So let's do that one.
Let's do indeed.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, we all know that I have loved Boll & Branch for years before they even became a sponsor. And in addition to the sheets that I love, another thing I've had for years is the waffle bed blanket. And let me just all tell you, first of all, you're like, waffles? Yeah, waffles. We all love them because they've got those little pockets in them. I had waffles today for lunch. I got Tommy a waffle maker for Christmas and I've been having Belgian waffles on the daily. And when today I was like, these are just like the Boll & Branch waffle bed blanket because they have little squares where everything good gathers. And all the things that good that gather are the comfort and good night's sleep that you get from having one of those over.
That's
you.
How I knew. I knew Boll & Branch was good because they'd already had the Christy Wallace Silva experience. And Boll & Branch's signature sheets and waffle bed blanket are the ultimate bedding duo. Take it from Christy, who really does read a lot of reviews and will toss something if it sucks. Period. We'll throw it away. They are crafted from 100% organic cotton and loved by millions for a good reason. The signature sheets, I sleep in them every night. They're buttery soft. They get softer with every wash. And this waffle blanket I'm about to get offers lightweight warmth with plush, springy texture. Together, they create a breathable, cozy sleep experience you can enjoy year-round with over 300 mix and match color combinations, artisan quality craftsmanship, and the 30-night worry-free guarantee. This is comfort you can count on season after season. Why are you sleeping in raggedy sheets? Boll & Branch is right there.
Do it. Yeah. The color I always have is mist. All the colors are beautiful. And one thing that I love about the waffle blanket, one, I love many, it's reversible. So on one side, the mist is the dominant color, and on the other side, it's reverse. So, if you fold if you like a little fold down on your blanket when you're making your bed, it gives a nice contrast. Also, you can just like flip it over depending on what your mood is and what you're trying to go for.
It's time. The time is now. Discover a softness beyond your wildest dreams with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Boll & Branch, bollandbranch.com/creepy, code creepy to unlock 15% off. Exclusions apply. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's
I'm still Heather.
And let's get freaky with what Heather has said. Maybe the rest of this episode will
not. Sorry, I see the trigger warning, the content warning. I'm sorry. I said this will give you.
I've untethered my microphone from laughing. Okay, I'm back.
Sorry, I was like, you know, tales of true crime, like we all like to escape.
Well, some of them are lighter than others, but you know, certainly. I had to put this first one at the top we could discuss it.
Yes,
and then get on to the lighter ones. So. Knowing that, this first one is from MK and is called My Best Friend Dated a PDF. Content warning, this discusses child sexual abuse. Hey, ladies, I've been debating writing this in for the last 2 weeks, but I decided, fuck it. If they read it on the show, cool. If not, at least I told someone else about this absolute fuckery of lies my ex-best friend told in order to be with a pedophile. I'm going to include an article link in this also so you can reference the first crime this nasty, nasty person got in trouble for. I've known my friend for almost 10 years. She's 50, I'm almost 28. Her daughter is about 5 to 6 years younger than me. I've always been the girl with older girlfriends, which I can thank working in a restaurant for 10 years for. Something about your best friend being almost double your age builds character, I guess. About 2 years ago, she met this grill cook at her job. He had just moved to the area, was living in a halfway home, and was really nice to my friend. After a few dates, they ended up sleeping together. She decided she wanted to look up what he got in trouble for because he had never told her and she didn't think to ask. Red flag, I think, in my book, because why are you in a halfway house? Those are questions I would have asked, but whatever. With a mutual friend, we looked him up. Tier 3 sex offender. Here's the link for your eyes only to the article that we found. I guess I shouldn't care if people know where we're from and what's going on with her, but the big heart I have just doesn't want it blasted everywhere. For the listeners, though, this part of Southern Ohio that he's living in is known for sex offenders and pedophiles. My friend was disgusted and shocked, and she stopped talking to him. Or so we thought. 2 weeks ago, another friend of ours revealed the truth. For over a year, my friend has been practically living with this guy. 7 to 8 months after she found out the truth, he convinced her to talk to him. He had her convinced he was innocent. Ladies, if you read that article before getting this far, I don't think the little girls were lying about anything, especially when he pleaded guilty in the trial. The truth only came out because he got in trouble again for talking to underage girls at the job my ex-friend and him both work at together. He broke his parole, so he's back in jail. My ex-friend lied to our mutual friend to get her to loan her truck so she could help him clean out his apartment so he wouldn't get in trouble with his landlord. His neighbors are also other sex offenders. She was living there with him. She has his stuff in her apartment and cleaned out his bank account for him also when he got arrested. She was investigated for 3 days because the police knew they were together and that they needed to look through her phone too. When they were dating, she obviously didn't tell me or anyone that knew the truth about his crimes. But her family and her daughter, who was pregnant at the time, they were like officially dating, knew she had a boyfriend. No one who knew about her, quote, good guy boyfriend, knew that he was a sex offender. We were all lied to. Her and her daughter have their own problems on top of the weird, creepy vibe she got from mommy's new boyfriend. She ended up cutting her mom off about 4 to 5 months ago. She tried to take her 3-month-old granddaughter around this guy. My mind was completely blown. My heart is broken. How could she put this guy above all of us? Ladies, I'm sorry, but I just can't get behind a woman who lays with a man that has done things like this to children. A lot of our friends have cut her off, and her daughters know the truth now too. So does her family, the little bit she has left. One of our friends said, "It's a big mistake. I'm going to try to get her to open up to me. I want to hear what she has to say." And I just told her to do what you got to do, sister, but this isn't just some mistake I can forgive, in my opinion. She mentioned to me he was back in jail, but of course, nothing of their relationship. My best friend kept all this from me when we're supposed to be best friends, and she didn't have anyone else but me sometimes. Me and her had the tradition of going to the pumpkin show. If you haven't heard of it, please look it up. Best free show in the world. And this year, of course, we didn't. It's just so frustrating. I'll miss her. I really will, but I just can't forgive this. I suppose I'm writing in to get your opinions about it or support. Even if you don't agree with me, that's okay too. I told her I hope she stops talking to him and gets herself some help.
In all seriousness, horrific that this person not only is just walking amongst us, but that knowing what you know of him, that you date him. My initial reaction was to joke around and be like, yeah, of course, it's fine. You should date this guy. He's done his time. But I can't even joke about it because reading that article which we will not share with you all, and I won't share the details because we don't normally talk about that, will be an article that'll just pop up in my head probably from time to time forever, having read the actions that he took, which were heinous, and he abused a position of trust. And
yeah,
this wasn't an accidental misunderstanding of it was a 6-year long ongoing significant severe abuse, and I think people like that are unfixable, in my opinion.
I agree, and I agree with you also, MK. This is not a mistake I could forgive. When we know better, we do better. And if you find out that the person you're in a relationship with has abused a child, then that's game over. There's no like second chances.
When
it comes to shit like that.
If you say, I want to meet up with him one more time. If it's to burn his car, that's fine. But like, if it's to chat
with the police officer and have him arrested. Yeah. But like,
Chris Hansen. Yeah.
Something. How could you have sex with somebody that you know wishes they were having sex with someone way younger than you?
Yeah. Just the idea that someone could touch that. Touch a child in a way like that, I don't even want to be near them or talk to them. And again, I'm coming from a place of having heard long interviews with long-term sex offenders who are like, yeah, no, it's in my brain. This is never going to stop.
So again,
it's just, I'm not, I don't want to say, I'm not prejudiced against pedophiles, but I am though, because it is an admitted sort of issue. So yeah, I mean, I think there needs to be some sort of way to deal with them. I don't know what that's going to be, but dating them, not it.
No. And if you're having to lie to your friends about who you're dating, then why is that? Examine that.
Yeah, you know what's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that it's weird and gross and you shouldn't be doing it and that they wouldn't approve of it because it is all those things.
Yeah.
And to take your 3-month-old granddaughter, I'm sorry, not only just to a sex offender's house, but to a sex offender's house who's all the neighbors are also sex offenders.
Yeah. And the sex offender who was convicted of a activity that was done by taking a kid in the other room of a house or, you know, of a location. Mm-hmm. And so it's just what I'm sad for your friend, honestly, to have that low self-worth that she thinks that the only person that she is worthy of is this person, an unrepentant pedophile who seemed to be lying to cover it up. That's the concern. It's like we talked about with Mike Warnke. It's bad enough that you did it all, but when we go, hey, you really did some harm here, you go, well, not really, and what, there's just some, you just don't understand every angle, man. And it's like, just take responsibility and say, I've ruined some children's lives. The victim impact statements in that case you sent were heart-wrenching. I mean, horrible. Mm-hmm. So yeah, your poor friend, I hope she finds the self-worth that she clearly so desperately needs.
Yeah. It sounds like he's psychologically manipulated her at the very least, getting her to clean out his bank account and stuff so that shit can't be touched. Girl, no. Mm-hmm. He goes to jail and you go, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Never nice knowing you. It wasn't, though, because you're a nasty pervert. And then you go on with your life and you meet somebody else. Or you don't, but you don't get back with him.
No, yeah. There are 8 billion people on the planet. You do not have to throw your life away for a pedophile.
No. Well, MK, I appreciate you sharing that with us, because that's not an easy thing to talk about, especially when it was your best friend. I mean, we're talking all about her. You lost your best friend to something that is unimaginable, you know? And I completely support your point of view of, I can't forgive this. And I think that that's very reasonable. And I think most people would think that was very reasonable too.
Yeah. I'm always like, what is she going to tell her friends? MK, stop talking to me. Why? Well, like, I mean, you know what I mean? I think you're completely justified. I'm also, don't ask me though. I'm a Scorpio rising. I'll cut people off and never talk to them again and not feel bad about it actually. But I do feel bad for you, because I know something like that where you have an annual tradition. I looked up the pumpkin show. It looks very fun. Little Miss Pumpkin show, Miss Pumpkin contest. You know, there's a lot. I love pumpkins. It's beautiful. And to have that going on and there's a person next to you that you wish you were there, was there and is not there by their own actions, has got to feel really horrible. And thank you for sharing with us. But you're within your right, and may you find a new best friend who is worthy of you, of a person with your integrity.
Absolutely.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You've heard us talk about Hungry Root before, so you know how much we love it because it simplifies our lives. It is a game changer, saving time, meal planning, and doing our food shopping for us.
Hungry Root makes healthy eating effortless by planning your meals, stocking your cart, and delivering everything you need each week, all tailored to your dietary preferences, health goals, and budget. The personalization is unmatched, and they take care of the guesswork so you can just enjoy your meals. With over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes, many ready in under just 15 minutes, and 1,000-plus grocery items from smoothies and salad kits to sweets and supplements, it's easy to find food that fits your lifestyle.
Quality is a top priority, too. Hungry Root screens out over 200 additives and only works with trusted, clean label brands. You'll find high-quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, organic produce, and non-GMO options from names like Vital Farms, Ithaca Hummus, and Harmless Harvest. And if your New Year's goal is to eat better, Hungry Root makes it actually stick. Even as February and March roll around and resolutions fade, this is one healthy habit that's easy to keep. I ate a Hungry Root meal moments before we recorded some cauliflower pasta with some vodka sauce. Like, they just send all the elements. Paris made it the other day, and it tastes good, even heated up the next day.
Tommy has made, I think, every Hungry Root meal we have. The Thai style coconut chicken, so good. Our kids loved it. I was crazy for the snacks that we got time. The yogurt, the blackberry organic yogurt. Also, kids ate all of it. I was like, where'd all the yogurt go? They ate it all. They also have these dark chocolate dipped banana bites, which I've never had a banana covered in chocolate that somehow came in a bag. And it was a wonderful surprise, delicious, and something that I would never have known existed if not for Hungry Root.
Same Hungry Root sent us black bean brownie cookie batter that Paris made these delicious chocolate cookies. And I was like, there's black beans in this? Like, I don't care. I like it. It's so good.
So good.
That's Hungry Root, baby.
You're going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. Well, this next one is from your girl, Jay, and is called, Okay, They're Right, I Am Single Because I Am Too Picky. Your girl, Jay, writes, Hi, friends. You are both goddesses that grace us with your presence, and we are all grateful. Thank you so much. Okay, maybe that was a little extra, but your empathy and compassion are exactly what this genre needs. So goddesses is decently accurate. You're always respectful, which is so appreciated, and I also love hearing your political opinions. Thank you for standing on the right side of history and showing that advocating for your beliefs matter, despite any adversary opinions. I'm a 37-year-old single woman. I had a messy childhood, so it took me a bit longer to do the work, but finally, I'm a whole, self-aware, ready for a relationship adult now. I'm successful, deeply involved in my community, kind, fairly attractive, based on outside reviews. I'm still working on the self-esteem part, and I have a beautiful life I want to share. Yet when people, especially my well-meaning boomer-aged family and friends, find out I'm single, they ask, are you too picky? I usually laugh and tell two stories. Story one is a quickie. So I'm halfway through a first date, having totally normal conversations, when the guy casually asks, do you have any drugs? We're in a nice restaurant. Drugs have not come up in any previous conversations. And by the way, I smoke weed. It's California. It's legal. But that is not what he meant. I say, I'm confused. You said you were in AA? Aren't you sober? His response, yeah, I can't drink alcohol. Alcohol will kill me, but the drugs won't. My jaw hit the floor while I figured out how to politely exit the date ASAP. Needless to say, we didn't go out again. Story two, true crime edition. I matched with a guy who seemed nice, so we set up a date. For the purposes of this story, I am making up the following details. We will call him John, with the occupation of carpenter, and use Portland as a city. On the first date, he mentioned he had been arrested before. I got a DUI when I was 21 and had a crazy early 20s, so I'm not judgmental. We all make mistakes, and as long as we learn from them, I'm willing to accept a colorful past, but reflection is very important to me. That being said, I did OPA research, political opposition, early in my political career. I left the industry after the 2016 election. So the next day, when my flight was delayed, I did some searching just to be sure. Ladies, always search. I am more than happy to write in with some tips on how to do quick searches on guys, and about the time my searches didn't work, but that's a different story. So I Googled John Carpenter Portland. Luckily, I found John pretty quickly. He has an uncommon hyphenated last name, so the searching became easy after this. Once I had his last name, I Googled that and his college town. The article that popped up was titled, "Student Attacks Two with Machete," attached below. And yes, he is the one with the machete. What the literal frick? Like, what? Is this real? My flight started boarding, so I had to act quick. Like I said, I believe in second chances, so I sent him the article and said, "Is this you?" I turned off my phone, getting onto the plane. Red flag one, I land and he owns that it is him. Since this incident was 10 years ago, I decide to give him the benefit of the doubt. We jump on a call to chat it through, and I ask, "So what did you learn from this experience?" His response was, "Well, I don't get a machete when I drink now." Then he gives me a bit of sass that I was Googling him. I quickly ended the call and we didn't talk again. Again, I believe in second chances and that we all deserve to right our own ships. But that does mean people have to learn from their mistakes and choices, which this man has not. So when people ask, "Am I too picky?" No, I do not believe I am. I am doing my best to find my person in this crazy world, but I want someone with the capability to grow like I have. Wishing you two all the best, but I hope this is some consolation to those ladies out there who are being told, "You're just too picky." It's just genuinely hard to find your person. Thanks again, ladies, for all you do.
Oh, well, your girl, Jay. No, I don't think when you find out someone is a machete attacker and you ask them about it, they're not repentant. Again, just act like you fucking care that I asked you this. Don't be like, "Why are you Googling me?" Also, we're not going to say his last name, but 100% that was him. Like, you know what I mean? He's got such an unusual last name. You got to, I don't know. I don't say you got to tell people that on the first date, but like somewhere.
At some point.
I don't know.
Probably it comes up. I don't know. I don't have anything so sorted from my past that I feel like I would need to disclose it up top. But in this day and age, I think everybody Googles people when they go on a date and looks them up. So you might not say it because you're worried of scaring them off. But at the same time, if they do Google you and they're like, "By the way," then that's your chance to be like, "I was going to say something, but I didn't want it to happen too soon in the relationship. I was young then. That was so stupid," yada, yada, yada. But to be like, try and make a joke out of it and take zero accountability about, "Well, I just don't get a machete when I drink now." One, not a funny joke. Two, shows us you've learned nothing.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, oh, he chased the people with the machete and no one was injured. Thankfully, he didn't kill anybody, but there was like injuries that occurred. So it's like, again, act like you give a little bit of a shit about your fellow humans. And no, I think if someone in the middle of a nice restaurant's like, "You got any drugs?" That is a perfectly great reason not to go out on a date with them again.
Yeah.
I feel like that everyone's standards, like they, I wish for us all as those without partners to have such a robust and happy life that in fact, someone's got to really be good for you to interrupt your joy. And that's where I was finally by the time I met Paris. Cause before that I was like, "I got to find somebody. I got to. And it made me settle for a lot of shit. No offense, but it did. And it truly was not until I was kind of Lizzo, like, I am my own soulmate. Like, I'm everything I need. I love my bed. I like starfishing in my bed. That it was like, I have to have someone that's the caliber to interrupt this whole thing I've got. And even then I was like, I also am not going to stop doing the following things. So again, Scorpio rising, take my advice with a grain of salt.
No, it's true though. You know, don't settle, and especially don't settle because you, some imaginary biological clock is ticking, or your boomer parents are like, we want grandchildren. Well, this isn't your life. And I'm not going to go out with somebody that, you know, is asking me for drugs on the first date and also wielded a machete when he got drunk. So that's my choice.
Also, I mean, and if someone's like, I really just, I want a kid from you. I'm like, what is this? Go get yourself a dog, a parrot. They talk back to you. So a parrot might be more.
Turtles, they live for a long time.
They live 30, 40 years. But I think that your girl Jay is smart to do the Oppo research, because just look what MK found out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you just never know. And I have my thing is, if people are like, you shouldn't search me, you shouldn't have things that you're ashamed of. And I don't mean that in a rude way. I'm not going to come and sit down and be like, hey, I have a resume, I'm going to go over it with you, all of it. But I think we all have a right to know who we are interacting with and the safety of that.
Yeah. If I had to go on a date, which I'm not, because I'm not doing it. Married.
I'm done.
I'd probably at some point in the first date have to be like, by the way, I told you I host a podcast. You're going to hear on the first episode something I did that's very embarrassing. That's kind of what I'm known for now. Yeah. And so I just want you to know that, so when you come upon it yourself, there's less of a disgusting shock.
Yes, tell them in advance. With Paris, I didn't know anything about him. I knew his first name and didn't know even his job. But at our first date, he paid with a debit card like a fool. So I got his last name and I ran like full background, full everything. I looked at every possible public social media thing. I made a timeline of things I could find and dates and stuff. And then I said, nothing about it. And if he wanted to tell me things, I was happy for him to tell me things. And then those things comported with reality. So then I knew he wasn't lying.
The feds. You don't ask questions that you don't know the answer to.
No, I'm like, so, oh, really? He'd be like, oh, I went on this trip. And I'm like, did you meet anyone on the trip? Because I was like, I've seen pictures of you and your family meeting this celebrity. And I was like, he doesn't need to know, you know,
I'm
he met
Keegan
Michael Key 4 years ago. Don't say that. So I was just like, oh my God, what was that like? And then once we were married, I was like, yeah, I'd seen all that.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah. Once you got him with the ring, then you can show you're crazy. But 100%. Before then, you got to keep it on the down
low. It's on him though, for us not at our first date being like, oh, she's a lawyer and a true crime podcaster, she's probably gonna do a background check.
Mom. Oh, or you. He knew you would, and he was like, fine with she it. Can have my last name because I have nothing to hide.
Totally fine with it. Well, it worked out in the end. Well, our girl Jay, first of all, thank you for your kind words as well.
Yes.
About our political chat, especially today. But you keep those standards high.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've said before, I know a ton of women our age that are single and thriving, and
it's all about,
honestly,
community.
A man would fuck up their whole world. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm like, they just, the dick would drag him down. So
telling,
I'm like,
you, man,
for some, like, just being your own soulmate and having a rich, fulfilling life that you curate for yourself is enough. And if you want to share it with somebody else, should they be so lucky?
For real. Know? They are. They would be blessed. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. I don't like when I'm poked. I don't like when things are uncomfortable, and I won't wear them. I'll throw them in the garbage and I'll never look back. But when I have something that is comfortable, like underwear from Skims or their bralettes, I love them and I will not throw them out. So thank you for not pinching me, Skims.
Absolutely. There's nothing worse than underwire pinching you, or like just panties that are too tight. And nobody wants to feel, I don't ever want to feel my undergarments on
I don't want to think about them.
You know, I just, they're there and that's cool, but I don't want to feel them. And that's how I feel with Skims. I'm like, did I put on underwear? Yes, I did.
I got to double check.
They are so comfortable that you don't even notice that you got them on.
my lightweight cotton ruched back hipsters from Skims. I thought these are going to bunch up. They're going to be weird. Not couldn't be more comfortable again. And they're all cute and girly.
They are.
I was like, look at that. I could be adorable with a little bow on it. And I'm still not, something's not all dug in my craw.
Yeah, so again, my ass sitting hanging out of my cotton jersey full briefs, but they're got little lace on the bottoms and a little bow. And so I still feel cute and sexy in them. And they're beyond comfortable. Shop our favorite bras and underwear at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Well, our next one comes from Morgan and is called How a Funny Family Christmas Story Led to Me Learning About an Unsolved Murder. Morgan writes, hello, Sinister Shepherds. I'm Morgan. You guys read the story of my husband finding a little girl in the fog on Freaky Friday episode 54. I'm not going to lie, that was probably one of the highlights of my days. You guys asked for stories from around the Christmas table, and boy, oh boy, do I have one for you. Before I jump in, I just want to give a quick shout out to my sister-in-law and bestie, Kate, and my sweet little niece, Maeve, who are both avid listeners. Maeve has been listening since before she was born and is a true lifelong listener. Never mind that she's only 8 months old. Okay, now onto the story. Probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was at my husband Jay's extended family Christmas. They were doing what I think most families do around the holidays, recounting old stories and teasing each other about stuff that happened years ago. Someone was ribbing Jay's uncle about the time in high school when he ripped up his mom's hydrangea bushes and replaced them with marijuana plants, thinking she wouldn't know the difference. He was laughing as he responded, y'all like to act like a high school stoner was the worst criminal we had in this family, while knowing good and well that Bobby was responsible for piloting the largest cocaine bust in our state's history. Apparently, I was the only person that heard the record scratch because everybody else just kept laughing and goofing off like they had not just heard a huge family secret. In their defense, I was the only new person in the family and likely the only person who didn't know. At this point, Jay and I had been together for at least 3 Christmases, so I looked at him bug-eyed and whispered, how could you not tell me this when you know how much I love true crime? He just laughed, and his mom told me this story. My cousin Bobby was one of those guys who could do anything, was a mechanic, then he started to sell cars. After a while, he began racing cars. Eventually, he became a pilot. Anyway, back in the early 80s, the local police force was having their Christmas party out at the municipal airport when they heard a small plane coming in for a landing. That was unusual because there were no planes scheduled for that day. A group of the officers went out to see what was going on, and there they saw Bobby unloading a massive amount of cocaine and marijuana. He had flown under the radar from Florida and landed right in the laps of the cops. It was the largest drug bust in our state's history. I'm sure it's been passed now, but at the time, it was also one of the largest in the country. I was stunned. I honestly don't remember anything else that was said that night because I couldn't stop thinking about this story. I think the last time I wrote in, I was working in an elementary school, but now I'm working at my local library. And on a particularly slow day, I remembered this story and thought I would look through some of the library's databases to see if I could flesh out the story a bit. I'm keeping the details vague for a bit of anonymity. In December of 1982, a Cessna 414 T-plane landed at a local airstrip after authorities had trailed it for about 45 minutes in a helicopter. Upon landing, the authorities seized the plane and its contents and arrested several people. One of those people was Jay's cousin, Robert E. Lee, big yikes, who went by Bobby. The authorities ended up confiscating 955.1 pounds of cocaine, which was valued at an estimated $325 million in 1982. When I looked up the conversion, it would be worth $1.01 billion in 2025. This drug bust was at the time the third largest drug bust in U.S. history and the largest in our state. According to an affidavit signed by a DEA agent, authorities had received tips and other information about a, quote, major cocaine smuggling venture from Colombia, South America, and had been monitoring Bobby since he flew out of Miami and landed at the airstrip on his property. Six out of the 16 found to be part of this smuggling ring were charged with smuggling cocaine, conspiracy to smuggle cocaine, possession of cocaine with the intent to distribute, and conspiracy to possess cocaine with the intent to distribute. Eventually, only three were tried and convicted. Bobby was one of them. The ringleader received a 70-year sentence. The second in command received 30 years, and Bobby received 25 years in federal prison. After Bobby was sentenced, research kind of ran dry. There wasn't really any more talk of Bobby in the papers. That is, until 2002. I came across a newspaper headline that read, "Auto dealer found slain." According to the article, Bobby was found in his home and had been beaten to death. And from what I found, his murder remains unsolved. When I mentioned this to Jay, he said that it's assumed someone put a hit on Bobby. The end. I am attaching the newspaper articles I found, as well as some pictures of my dog, Wallace, and my niece, Maeve. All attachments are for your eyes only. Well, my goodness, thank you, Maeve. Maeve, my favorite listener of the podcast now. Maeve, look at your sweet little face.
Tiny angel, Maeve, stop it. I love your little pants, your stripy pants. With listening with your teddy, I think.
And Wallace, you're a beautiful boy. Dude, what a shiny coat.
Hey, Wallace looks like he would take somebody down if you needed him to. Thank you for these.
Bobby.
Dude, Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee.
First of all, he's giving Drew Thornton Cocaine Bear bluegrass conspiracy episode vibes. Just late 70s or early 80s, man. They were just general aviation aircrafts. Like, just fucking fly whatever you want. But wouldn't you, that could be could not be worse timing that you pull into the airstrip and you're like, oh, son of a bitch. God. It's a police fucking Christmas
party. We didn't
know
their Christmas party was tonight. And what a Christmas party to never forget. Mm-hmm. Like, remember that time we were just out drinking beers on the airstrip? We busted the largest cocaine bust in one of the top three in the country's history.
That's wild. That's the type of lore, though. I love when people just drop that and they're like, oh, yeah, like Cousin Bobby. That was crazy. Anyway, and you're like, what do you mean? What now? I'm sorry. As the new person, what now? It is fun to be the in-law or whatever, because you get family members telling these stories. And then when you go and corroborate, you're like, oh, my God, there are multiple articles about our family member. And, you know, for every Drew Thornton, there's a Drew Thornton's cousin who's like, yeah, my uncle's the guy that threw the cocaine and the bear ate it. You know, like, that's crazy to know that connection.
Yeah.
That connection.
Wow. Well, and I'm sorry that he met what sounds like a tragic end, and that it remains unsolved. The thing with that lifestyle is that is not uncommon. All too often it ends in something bad, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When it's like, especially who's going to come kill this guy after 20 years? It's like someone who has a multi-million dollar cocaine loss, a financial loss that they're still pissed off about, probably that person. So, well, thank you to your man, Jay, for letting us also share his family story and for you to writing it in.
Mm-hmm.
This next one's from Rachel, and the subject line is near-death experience starring my deceased grandma. It was September 15th, 2022, also my 15th wedding anniversary, and I had been experiencing severe stomach pain for about 10 days. I had already been to urgent care and was told they didn't know what was wrong with me. I tried getting up that morning to get ready for work, but I kept having to lay down from the pain. My husband decided to call 911, and I was taken to the hospital. After 8 hours in the ER, a CT scan, and a lot of blood work, the doctor delivered the terrifying news. My colon had ruptured and was leaking waste into my body and my bloodstream. I was in septic shock, and I had to get emergency surgery to remove a portion of my colon. Everything happened so quickly because they were trying to save my life. I got to speak with the surgeon before they took me in. He told me that most likely they would have to give me a colostomy bag and I would be on some heavy-duty antibiotics. He said my timing was good because just being an hour later getting to the hospital, I would not be here. In the operating room, I remember getting prepped for surgery and the anesthesia hit nicely. The next thing I remember is hearing my grandma's voice. It was like music to my ears because I hadn't heard it in 11 years. We were in this really warm, bright place, and she was hugging me, and she told me to look down. I was watching my surgery, and the doctors were freaking out because my blood pressure had dropped so low. I asked her if I was going to die. She said I didn't have to if I didn't want to. Then I saw what looked like a movie screen and saw my daughter. I saw her when she was a baby, a little girl, a teenager, all the way through college, and a lot of life events I wouldn't be there for. I told my grandma that I had to go back for her. We hugged, and she gave me a kiss on my forehead. The next thing I remember is waking up from surgery asking where my grandma was and the hospital staff being very confused. I ended up having a colostomy bag for 4 months. Then they were able to reverse it and put me all back together. This is the first time I'm sharing this story. Thanks for listening, Rachel.
Well, thank you, Rachel, for sharing that.
Thanks for trusting us with that.
You had a near-death experience, and thank goodness you listened to your body and not the idiots at urgent care. I can't tell you how many times somebody at urgent care has just been like, I don't know. And I'm like, cool. I'm glad I just paid you $75. Tell me that. Thank
like,
you.
Like, go fuck yourself. And thanks for the $75. Mm-hmm. Oh, but no, I'm glad. Yeah, like Christy said, I'm glad you listened to your stomach and called 911. And I think a lot of times, especially women, we're like, oh, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm just being dramatic. Meanwhile, your fucking colon had ruptured. So I'm very glad that you were seen when you did. Sepsis is no joke. I've had a family member go into that and we were like, this is it. It's time to sign the papers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It can be really deadly. So. Mm-hmm. And I'm also glad they were able to reverse the colostomy. If you have not read or listened to, you know, listen to our near-death episode, our near-death experiences episode, or read that book, I think it's called After Death by Dr. Bruce Grayson, you might find some solace in that, Rachel, especially if you said this is the first time you're sharing this. He's a medical doctor. He's very, I don't want to say skeptical, but he's very thorough in investigating these claims and cross-referencing them and not, you know, gassing people up, but more just like listening with an open mind. And it might bring you some comfort to know that you are not alone and that what you've described is quite common.
Yeah. Yeah. I second all of that. It's a weird thing to have gone through, and you're definitely not alone. And there are people out there that can relate and maybe have some answers, you know?
Right. And I think it might be worth Googling, like, the Division of Perceptual Studies, I think is what it's called, at the University of Virginia. Sometimes they're asking for stories. I think that's where he works. And there's other doctors and scientists that are sort of trying to scientifically study these strange, inexplicable things. So you might be able to help them even. So thank you for trusting us with it in the first place, though. And I'm glad your grandma was there for you.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're okay. That's a thing that we've heard in NDEs a lot, kind of this, well, you can go back if you want, or you can come with me. And again, like almost a movie screen like thing or a flash of everything that is to come in their life that they would miss out on. And you're kind of at a crossroads. And I'd go back for my daughter too. So even if it meant I had a colostomy bag the rest of my life, which I'm glad you didn't have to. Some people do, but it would still be worth it to see your daughter grow up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Rachel, for trusting us with that. Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This next one is from Carolina, and the subject line is premonitions. Hola, chicas. Love the show and have been listening for years. In fact, I was probably listening to Sinisterhood the day the incident I'm about to tell you occurred. There have been three times in my life when I've had a premonition, only for it to come true immediately afterwards. Twice involved car accidents I was in, but I would like to tell you about the third, and so far, last time, I had a premonition of an accident. In 2021, I was working in Queensland, Australia. On a trip to Cairns, I somehow got with this guy who had a camper van, and we went on an overnight trip to a popular location called Davies Creek Falls. It's quite beautiful, a series of cascading waterfalls forming natural infinity pools overlooking the rugged bush landscape. There's a small hike from the car park to the largest rock pool, which honestly isn't my fave thing to do when the air is a humid 35 degrees Celsius, but the promise of fresh mountain water makes the ends justify the means. There is no phone reception out there at all, just a whole lot of nature. Our plan was to bring beers and a picnic, swim, chill out, and watch the sunset. We get there around lunchtime, and there are other families and people peacefully enjoying the space. The edge of the pool is bordered with mossy rocks, and it is a very popular spot for photos. The view is quite stunning. Looks like you're swimming off the edge of the world. See picture of me attached. The water from the rock pool trickles down over the edge to form another waterfall, with a small ledge below, before a deadly drop. Anyway, we're chilling, smashing tinnies, Australian term for drinking canned beer. Then, what I assume is an influencer couple shows up. They're some sort of European backpackers, possibly Dutch, but let's go with German. The girlfriend is bleach blonde in a very small white bikini. The boyfriend is a gym bro, jacked as fuck and tan to hell, holding about four different cameras. We watch, amused, as we sip our beers, as this bloke goes about getting the perfect drone shot of his girlfriend's ass in the water, takes video selfies about how they found this hidden gem, etc. All the usual influencer bullshit. Since the borders have been shut for COVID, there's not really that many tourists around, so we're just kind of lackadaisically judging these foreign people, completely unaware of their surroundings. Eventually, they make their way to the edge of the infinity pool to take the famous selfie everyone comes here for, and suddenly, I see this influencer bro fall over the edge of the waterfall. I literally see it, and I know it to be true, but it hasn't happened yet. He's jumping from one slippery-ass rock to the other, loses his footing, and falls down a 50-meter drop. But he hasn't even reached the rocks yet. He and his girlfriend are still waiting over there through the water. I sit with this realization for a moment while bro is directing his girlfriend where to pose. He climbs to stand on the rocks and starts jumping barefoot from one to another, GoPro in hand. I shout to him, "Hey, bro, don't jump on the rocks like that. It's really slippery. No photo is worth your life if you fall." Bro completely dismisses my warning, as all bros do when they think they know what they're doing. "It's fine," he says, like a big dumb bro. "What a dickhead," my companion says. I drink my beer in agreement. It was probably 11.35 seconds later when bro slipped and fell off the edge of the rocks. I saw it happen exactly the same way I had seen it happen moments earlier. I was wholly convinced I had just witnessed someone fall to their death. The girlfriend was too shocked to make a noise and was completely frozen. I immediately went out to her in the water and brought her back quite literally from the edge. Her eyes were wide as fuck, but she was still too stunned to react. I called out to some people who were hiking back to call an ambulance. My mate said he would try to look for bro and very delicately started climbing down the waterfall. Me and stunned mullet girlfriend just waited in silence. Remarkably, I hear my mate calling out, "He's okay, I'm gonna help him up." And I quite literally cannot believe this. The news seems to summon the girlfriend back into this plane of existence as she says, oh my God, thank you so much. Oh my God. Oh my God. And sure enough, my mate and bro return to us in the rock pool. Bro isn't even injured, which is absolutely crazy. His arm is hella bruised, but nothing is sprained or broken. All that time at the gym gave him the strength to hold on to a rock ledge until my mate came to help get his footing to climb out. I can't remember if I said I told you so or not, but I do remember bro complaining that he lost his GoPro. Both me and my mate told him he was lucky to be alive and just shut the fuck up and have a beer. The girlfriend and bro accepted our beers, but left immediately after. I've not had another premonition since that day. At times, I get a strong feeling that something will eventuate, but it doesn't manifest the same way as literally witnessing something before it comes to fruition, like I did at Davies Creek Falls. Things I have a strong feeling about do end up happening, sometimes months later. Side note, I now work as a scuba instructor in Mexico. If you ladies want to conquer your adversity to open waters and sharks, it seems like we have the power of universal consciousness on our side. Just let me know. Sharks are actually good vibes.
Well, I know you.
Yeah.
I can't say that I will, but I won't say that I won't take I would you say, up on that.
I will go only if Carolina is my guide, because if a shark would come eat me, she would know in advance and just be like, we got to get out of this water. A shark is coming. So yeah. I trust you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She'd see it happen.
I'm going
before.
With Carolina's premonitions. Absolutely.
Truly. That's the only way I'm going to swim with sharks is if I have somebody there that can see into the future and knows it's all going to turn out okay.
But yeah, if anybody Googles, you know, Davies Creek Falls or the it's beautiful. I would love to go there myself.
This picture's crazy.
It does look slippery though.
I mean, it looks, does it?
Like you could slip right off. And what a feeling you must have had, Carolina, to literally watch it all happen. Then you kind of blink and they're still standing there. And it's like, what if I yell at him? Is my yelling going to cause him to fall? Yeah. Like, that's what I would worry about is like, am I like butterfly affecting this? Like, what if he's supposed to fall and die? What if he's a bad person and it was going to be great for
him?
Dude, her if he was dead?
What if though yelling at him while he didn't stop doing it, it did change his actions just enough to where he didn't fall and die. He held onto a ledge, which getting out of that situation and then sitting down and having a beer is wild. But I guess you're still in shock, which is what I'm going to also attribute to the fact of like, I lost my GoPro, that in hindsight, I hope they realize what danger this was. But the girlfriend, you, your friend, anybody that just watched that guy fall off, every single person was like, we just watched somebody fall to their death, which is like a weird, I can't say it's a phobia, but there's something about seeing that happen or being at really high places myself that it just hits me in a scared place that a lot of other things don't. That would have sent me into psychosis if I had just seen that happen in my head and then it does happen. I probably would think I was some sort of oracle.
Yeah, you'd probably, it's one of those where, I mean, I would assume I would just be like, oh, it's a coincidence. It didn't, I just was imagining things. I would probably try to convince myself, but even is it Nate Bargatze's bit where he's like, our brains are dumb because we can lie to them. Because me saying that, there's a part of me going, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though I'm like, it was a coincidence. It was just a coincidence. The inside of part of me is going, no, it wasn't. And I'm like,
can't
shut
lie
up,
to
you.
Yourself.
Shut
I mean,
up,
you can, but before you know the truth.
I will poke you with a Q-tip. Stop. Stop it. So, yeah, that is a man. I don't know. Maybe try to hone it. Lean in, Carolina. Yeah. Like, Carolina in. Like, figure out.
For
like,
real.
I don't know. There's probably like liars and frauds on the internet who are like, we'll teach you how to be psychic. But I don't know. There's probably a path to follow with, I don't know if it's meditation or, I don't know, books or something, but let us know if you hone your psychic experience or if you as a listener, others who are listening have worked on your premonitions or worked on opening that third eye or something. And you have any possible resources, let us know. We'll pass them on. We'll tell everybody about it. We'll all be psychic and then we'll know. Yeah. Then we'll fix this. Then the wheel will turn.
I get feelings. I've never seen something that I can think of, unless it was in a dream, that came to fruition. The other night, Simon was like, we're going to see a rabbit there in a second. And then a that second later, there was a rabbit there.
He just walked in front of me and was like, there's a rabbit up ahead. Assuredly. And there was one later.
And there was. And later I was like, how'd you know that, buddy? And he was like, my brain told me. Said, okay.
What else does it tell you? Did your brain ever tell you lottery numbers?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Tell you, yeah, what stocks to buy?
No. Where should we put our money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, seriously. Well, yeah, let us know if any of you have honed your psychic abilities and what we can all do to juice them up. Let's get juiced up in 2026.
Dude, yeah. And I'm trying to get to this Davy's fault. I'm going to respect nature and not get anywhere close to that edge, but it does look incredible.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And be careful out with them sharks, Carolyn. Although, like I said, I think you'd see them coming. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this final one is from Lyle, and the subject line is, not dear, some Appalachian spirit. Hello, m'ladies. First off, let me just say that I adore you ladies. Your willingness to be vocal about this hot-ass mess of an administration is so refreshing. We need more people like you speaking out and speaking loudly. Thank you. Now, to my story. If I hear this on the show, please know you're invited to my funeral and are the keynote speakers. So back in October, my husband and I, along with our Japanese exchange student, went on a weekend trip up the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina. My spouse and I go yearly to the same cabin and all. This year, we found a new waterfall to visit nearby. It has two trails that actually form a loop. One trail starts easy and gets a bit more challenging, only because you have to climb 580 stairs. If you continue the loop, you go down a trail that, at times, is very steep. So if you decided to come this way up, it's much more difficult than the trail with stairs. We took the one with stairs and looped around. We made that long walk up all those stairs, of course pausing and resting because we're both over 40 and not built for that shit. The falls were absolutely stunning. We did the obligatory pictures and decided to make the loop. As we approached the falls, I saw a young kid, 14 to 16-ish, on the bench, spread out, head tilted back like he was asleep. Don't worry, he lifted his head, thank bejesus. I thought not too much of it, just took note of it mentally. When we decided to take the loop back down, the teen was going the same path and had his little brother, I'm assuming, with him. We'll call them the boys from here. They were walking slowly, so we walked by them. We showed them whippersnappers. We continued down, and at one point, I had to pee. So, as a male, I watered some plants. Before I did, I made sure the boys were nowhere near, because I'm not a complete savage. They were nowhere in sight, like, at all. Actually, there was no one on the trail. We kept walking for another 15 minutes, starting to fight for our lives at this point. I sat on a rock for no more than 1 minute. Then we started walking, and I looked, and the boys were suddenly right there. I kid you not, they were nowhere around when I sat. Even our student whispered, "Where did they come from?" I just had to shrug because I was speechless. At this point, I need to let you know that the trail is snake-like, so it goes down, but you backtrack going down. You can see above you the people behind you if you have anyone. So we go around the first bend and I look back because the boys have me freaking out, but they're not there, not even on the trail above. My husband, the forever skeptic, he even started asking where they were. We kept walking a bit faster now down the trail. We finally got to the bottom of the parking lot and the boys were in the parking lot. At this point, I was literally asking my husband, how the actual fuck are they here? He and the student both stopped and stared. I started power walking to the car, got in and looked at the trail, and the boys were going back on the trail. We left the park and headed back to the cabin. About 3 hours later, we were eating dinner and the student asked about the boys. None of us could remember any detail about their physical traits, only general, vague descriptions. Needless to say, I will never go back to those falls because, boy howdy, I am still frightened. We still can't give detailed descriptions of them to this day. I'm unsure if they were actually spirits, not deer, black-eyed children, or what. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the story. So, as two lovely people would say, what do we think? Obligatory pictures of my canine babies and the falls. I have too many cats to share those. Feel free to share the pictures. The beagle is a mini one named Mabel. The white one is Jasper, and the brown one is Fiona. Enjoy.
Oh my god! Oh, faces. Oh, if they're gray, they get their way. Look at those little faces. Babies. So very sweet, and the waterfalls. We've got several waterfall stories today. Don't go chasing them because you could fall off of them or run into some black-eyed children on the trail.
I don't know what's worse, running into an influencer or running into BEKs, but either way, like it is freaky.
Influencer.
Right. 100%. I'd rather run into a black-eyed kid. But if it, like somebody like this, that let me just say, I've been walking alone on trails a lot recently.
You have.
Yes. But, and so it is awkward sometimes when you do have to like pass people, especially if I'm like, fast enough to pass you. I have to like really punch it, or I'll be like, I'm gonna sit here and like I'll stop to write just so that people can go past, you know, so that we have enough space between us. But the idea of someone that I had already passed like popping up in front of me, I would have shit myself. No. I would have screamed.
Like is there a portal that I don't know about, because I'd like to take it back down to my car.
Do
this
you
is
know
a long ass winding road?
Yeah, what is the secret passageway? Because I can't with this. I can't keep taking all these stairs. That's a lot of stairs.
Forest children, they're different, man.
Kids forest, that grow up, they are, though.
Kids that like grow up in the Appalachian Mountains or just around this stuff, they're different. So maybe they did know of like a secret way to get down where they could hop in front of you, or maybe they're
ghosts.
They hologram themselves. They're ghosts.
They're Appalachian spirits that are like, well, if we look like they have an exchange student, maybe if we look like we could be exchange students, they'll let us go home with them.
Oh, and you're
like, no. We're at capacity. Corporeal exchange students only. You have to be of this physical realm to qualify to come back to our cabin with us.
Yeah, you can't invite them back.
Ghosts.
No, you don't get rid of them.
No, never. Oh, but I do want to see these cabins, not these cabins, these waterfalls. And I'm willing to face down some black-eyed kids if I have to.
I'll even face down influencers if I have to.
I do a lot.
Are definitely like, worse. But
like, please don't put me in your video.
No, get away from here. We're all just trying to enjoy nature. Nobody wants a drone shot of them right now.
Please don't. Don't drone, because you're asking me about peeing in the woods. Like if I, you know, like you got to make sure no one can see you. And like what I did not consider that there could be drones watching me.
Oh,
and now
well,
I will be considering
there
that.
There you go. Yeah,
they can't. They don't see coming from above. A drone shot of me squatting down.
See much.
You're not getting the money shot.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
No, if you have
an underground camera. No, but
you got to worry about those. Yeah, we'll just see
out
the heat image of you squat.
Like whenever there's somebody on the run and the helicopters are like panning them, it's just Heather with her holding her yoga pants forward so she doesn't fall over. Well,
yeah. With your hand on one tree and the other hand around you. Yeah, just trying not to fall in your own piss. We've all been there.
Every day, just trying not to fall in my own piss.
That is the story of my life right now. Well, thank you
guys
for sending in all of your stories, everyone that did today. And if you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email. You get immediate access to the chat, the raw and uncut videos before they go to YouTube, and a whole backlog of content for free members.
Absolutely. It's back this week. We were off on a hiatus. Thanks for everybody for sticking with us while we were off for the holidays. We can't wait to chat with you. We've missed you.
It's going
to
be fun. I feel like we're going to have some really good videos on Sunday. It's gonna be good. We it's always be good. Do, but yeah, you know, good. Everybody's we're all edging for videos. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole? Unpopular Opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials where you join at one of the tiers for a week. You can check out all the perks, binge stuff, check out old Q&As. We've got a whole archive of those. Check out our quarterly live bonus content if you sign up at the Getting Into It tier. Just take it all in. And if you cancel before the trial is over, you will not get charged. But if you stick around, you get an annual membership. You get 1 month free, a whole entire year of content that includes so much stuff.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As. Our next one is January 15th at 8:30 p.m. Central. They're always so much fun. We answer the top 20 upvoted questions, and you guys get to hear a lot of FMK, probably have some FMK January editions,
hell yeah,
which I can only imagine what that includes.
They're like, do you want to fuck New Year's resolutions? I can't think of anything else, but I'm sure you all will.
Yes. And quarterly live bonus content, which we let you all vote on what you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts. And the one thing that we can still count on in 2026 is having a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
One of the only things that keeps me going is our listeners and interacting with our listeners and being like, no, there are good people out there and this place is worth saving. So thanks for being those good people.
Absolutely.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show and submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, plus find fun things like topic-based playlists.
Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you're trying to treat yourself to a pep talk, get started. You're like, hey, it's new year. I'm trying to like assess my 2026. I want a tarot pull to give me some guidance. We would love to do something like that. Book a cameo now from happy birthday to birth announcements, congratulations, and pep talks. We will create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect. You don't have to go anywhere. And it is a great and much appreciated way for you to support the show. Christy, where can people find you on the internet?
You know, I typically just repost these days, and a lot of people I know are just deleting their social accounts entirely, and I'm a step away.
Go for it. Let's do
it. For now, you can find me on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace, and I can't delete TikTok because that's where all my news comes from.
Yeah.
And there I am at Christy or GTFO.
No, I hear you. I'm everywhere at Heather versus the World, and I have recently enjoyed Substack. I felt like that is a little bit more, it's like Threads, but even more, like less of a cesspool
threads,
than Twitter.
Threads, but more, like a whole sweater.
Threads, exactly. It's more than Threads. It's a sweater. So Heather versus the World.
Well, as always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Thank you.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big.